morning. Let me pray, and we'll reflect on the scriptures and us, where God, what God is doing with us as a church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, and we thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work amongst us here at St. George's. We rejoice in all that you've been doing amongst us over the past 12 months, and we look forward to the work that you're going to continue to do to build your church amongst us here. And we pray that that is what you would do, grow us in maturity, and we pray that we may have the joy of seeing people find life in Jesus' name and join us here to grow as your children, that we can shine the light of Christ from this place and be a blessing in this dark world. And we pray this for your name's sake. Amen. This week I read an article on why people in wealthy nations are not having kids. The writer says, "In listening closely to people's stories, I've detected a broader thread of uncertainty about the value of life and a reason for being. Many in the current generation of young adults don't seem totally convinced of their own purpose or the purpose of humanity at large, let alone that of a child." I think the article puts its finger on a deep malaise that we have as a society, a lack of meaning and purpose. And it's just one of many symptoms of that deeper condition we see around us. And it makes me think of the response that Jesus had to the crowds that we saw in our gospel reading this morning, that Jesus had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It's been 12 months since we launched our 10-year vision as a church. For those who are regulars here at St. George's, my hope is you've got one of these vision booklets. I don't expect you will know it as well as I do, but I do hope that you've familiarized yourself with it a little bit. And if you open up, and if you're new, you're welcome to take one of these as well. If you open up, you'll see on whatever page it is that our 10-year vision by 2033, St. George's will be a vibrant and welcoming community of more than 130 followers of Jesus who are growing spiritually and being growing spiritually, being transformed to be a blessing and to testify to our surrounding community. So we launched that at our AGM last year. And it's our vision because that's what we want to be, where we want to be by 2033, so that we can be the light that our city needs. You can also find in our vision booklet our mission. God's called us to be, as St. George's, to be the light on the hill, that we exist to see people drawn to the light of Christ, transformed by the light of Christ, and sent out to shine the light of Christ. And so AGM is a chance to celebrate, to give thanks to God for what he's been doing over the past year, to check in on how we're going as a church and look forward to the coming year. In our society groping around in the darkness without meaning, without purpose, harassed and helpless, hungry and thirsty for hope, we have such an opportunity to hold out the light of Christ, even as our building stands as a beacon of hope over Hobart. The harvest is ripe, and the question for us is, are we ready to ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers? Are we ready to be those whom God sends? And that's something for us together as we shine the light of Christ from this place. And I have to say, people do come. Some of you, this is your first time here at St. George's. Welcome. We're so glad that you could be here. We love welcoming people. We have new people every Sunday. And some of you are new who've joined us this year coming along. We actually have on Sundays an average of 12 more adults and 4 more kids than last year. And the question for us is, are we prepared to make new friends, to make space in our lives to welcome those who come through our doors? morning tea, our church lunches, our gardening bees, our Bible study groups, all of these are avenues for relationship. But the question is, are we willing to make room for new relationships to welcome and to build friendships here at church? The Christian faith is all about growth. And Paul opens his letter to the church in the ancient Turkish city of Colossae by thanking God that the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, is bearing fruit and growing throughout the world, even among the Christians in Colossae. And I love how Paul prays for them, and dare I say, prays for us as well. He writes, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." What a prayer for growth for us too. And notice there's two aspects of growth here. First, there's upwards, that God would fill us with knowledge of his will, with wisdom and understanding from the Holy Spirit, that we may grow in the knowledge of God, that we'd be strengthened with all power, that we'd have great endurance, that we would give joyful thanks to God. It's a picture of a rich and flourishing life with God, not just a kind of intellectual head knowledge, but a personal, intimate knowing God in the whole of life. It's a knowledge that of relationship that produces endurance, patience, and joy, because we are secure knowing that God knows and loves us, that we're known and loved by God. But second, growth is also outwards. This is living a life worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. And there's a dynamic here. The closer we grow to God, the deeper we grow in our relationship with him, the more fruit we will produce, doing all the good that God has called us to do. Elsewhere, Paul says, shining like stars in this dark world, bringing the light and love and peace of Christ through our acts of kindness and justice. I find so often the best way to grow is through, number one, serving, and then number two, leading others. I certainly find myself that the more responsibility I feel for others, the more I'm aware of my own weaknesses and limitations and inadequacies. And so the more I'm driven to prayer. I see more of how my own sin and selfishness gets in the way of me doing what I need to do. And so I have to bring myself before God and ask his Holy Spirit to change me so I grow spiritually. And then I'm able to serve and do the things God's called me to do. As we look out towards others, so we also look up to God. And at the same time as we look up to God, we see the needs of others. And so we are drawn to serve them, to look out. And that's my hope and prayer for each one of us, that we'd be caught up in God's kingdom, that we'd rest in the security of having been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son. And then as children of light, that we'd be captivated by Jesus' vision of the kingdom, his compassion for people, his vision for growth, that we'd pursue him in those spiritual disciplines of prayer, of confession, of reading the Bible, of Sunday worship, And at the same time, we'd be open to see others around us, to see their needs and how we can help them grow. And so I have two questions for each one of us. Number one, how are you seeking to grow spiritually? And number two, who are you investing in? How are you seeking to grow spiritually? And number two, who are you investing in? Be that through prayer, encouragement, care, maybe even mentoring in how to be a Christian. As we are open to the Holy Spirit to shake us up and to get us looking outward, so God will use us to grow his church here, both in maturity and also in number. Now, I've spoken about growth in maturity and in number because we want to see God's kingdom grow for the glory of his name and also for the blessing of our neighbors in this dark world as we hold out the light of Christ. But there's also kind of a practical financial need for us to grow. Since I've been at St. George's, we've run deficit budgets each year, and we've been using the savings given by previous generations to pay our bills for today. And while our bank balance is still healthy, it's not sustainable to spend more than we have income each year. So in this booklet, we have a number of different goals. One of them, our 2026 goals, is that by 2026, we'd be financially supporting the future of St. George's. Have I got it here? Oh, yeah, here we go. The future of St. George's as a vibrant presence within Battery Point by developing and implementing a plan for the long-term use of our site and establishing financially sustainable budgets. In March, Parish Council met to develop a capital works matrix or schedule where we set out around $250,000 of necessary maintenance and renewal work across the hall, the church, the hall and the rectory over the next 3 years. Our AV upgrade earlier this year is a big item on that list of works. That was about 50 grand. And I really want to thank Al and Andrew, especially for overseeing that project. The diocese has engaged a firm in Sydney that aims to help churches enhance and better utilise their property to serve their communities. And we are going to be working with them, Sustainable Development Group, that's the name. So we'll be working with them to help us do that, thinking about utilising and using our site well. In terms of financially sustainable budgets, we've been working towards breaking even by 2027. That means sustained growth in our annual collections. And these will grow in two ways, with people giving more and more people giving. So over the last 2 years, our collections have grown by $30,000. Amazing. Well done, everyone. I thank God for this growth and I thank you for your generosity. Later today, we're going to pass a budget setting an ambitious target to of an increase in giving in the next financial year of $28,000. Now, some of this will come from people increasing their giving. A new budget is for the new financial year. It's an opportunity for all of us to review our giving. If you don't give regularly or you don't give at all to St. George's, can I encourage you particularly to take a look at your finances and commit to giving a regular proportion of your income to St. George's. The Your Part in the Budget flyer, this is last year's one, so it's got a different figure on it, but the Your Part in the Budget flyer lays out what this might look like depending on your income. So you can take one of those if you like. And I have to say, you're giving financially to the church, it's a gift to God, actually, who so generously gives us all that we need for life and salvation. It also helps us pay our wages, keep the lights on, and it's a spiritual discipline that will help grow your trust in God and a spirit of generosity. It's a powerful, concrete way that you can contribute to what we do as the light on the hill. But second, Lord willing, most of our growth in giving will come from new people joining us here at St. George's. Our 2026 vision lays out some clear goals for how we will grow numerically. And I'm delighted that this year we ran Alpha, and we'll do that again next year in Term 2. I'm working on finding the right baptism and confirmation course to help those who do Alpha learn the basics of the Christian faith in terms of belief, ethics, and spiritual disciplines. And that's a key step in our engagement pathway, which you can kind of see there. It's probably too small, the words, but it's in the booklet. This is a vital step in people's growth. To be a disciple means to be a learner. That's what the word means. And so to become a Christian is to become an apprentice with Jesus as your master. So it's good to have a little bit of an apprenticeship. Without that, it's much harder to sustain faith and grow into all that God has for you. So if you have any thoughts about that or would like to help out in discipling new Christians, then please let me know. A second focus for us in the coming year is youth ministry. Our 2026 goal is to develop and implement a sustainable long-term plan for youth ministry. And to this end, we've received a grant from the diocese to employ a one-day-a-week youth trainee over 2 years. We do have a small group of teens, and we'll be having more kids who come through graduating from Kids Church. We currently partner with Crossroads Presbyterian hosting the XYZ youth group on Friday nights, and the youth trainee will join the XYZ team, and they'll also lead hopefully a small team running our youth discussion here on a Sunday morning. And thank you, Angie, for running that at the moment. So this will mean that we have somebody who's really focused on our youth, but also this person can be trained and supported in a team environment. It's a great investment in them growing as a young leader. So we'll see how God develops this ministry. So I invite you to pray with me that God would raise up the right person for this role as we advertise next month. Church only happens with everyone using their gifts. And so I want to thank each one of you for what you bring to St. George's. But there's a few people I particularly need to name. I want to thank Mike for his financial leadership and governance expertise as treasurer over the last 3 years. Mike's done a huge amount of work and we've been so blessed by him. I want to thank Jean for serving as Synod Rep. I don't know how long you've been doing that here at St. George's, probably since before I arrived, but we've really been blessed by your service there and your contribution to PC, not to mention in all the other ways as well, but this particular role. And I want to thank Karen for graciously saying yes to serving on Parish Council for the past year, despite her loathing of meetings, money and property, which is a lot of what we do. She's been great to have her there. I want to thank those who are staying on Parish Council, our wardens, Simon, Mark and Sarah, as well as Anne. There's always a lot to do on Parish Council, and you guys serve with passion and dedication. And a huge thank you to Al, who's out in Kids Church. We've loved having Al on staff. I'm still pinching myself that Al came to me and said, I want to do 2 days volunteer with you at St. George's. Don't worry about paying me. I can't believe it. Anyway, Al has just given so much of himself, been an invaluable member of our team here, and we've loved having the whole family here. So thank you to you as well, Ange. And finally, thank you to Amy, who's also out in Kids Church. Gosh, all the people serving in different ways. Anyway, Amy is our operations manager, and she does an enormous amount of work. So if you see her, do say thank you to her. Oh no, she is up the back. Ah, she's in for today, hiding away there in the kids section. So Amy's profile says that she likes building and maintaining systems that help people thrive. And that is exactly what she does. Amy is amazing at making things happen. I've got lots of ideas, but I'm not so good at executing them. But Amy helps us just get so much stuff happening. We are so blessed. Things like this vision booklet, your part in the budget, all sorts of different stuff are the fruit of Amy's hard work. So thank you so much. What have we got here? Oh, yeah, that was that slide. Okay, all right, here we go. Last slide. Growth can be uncomfortable because it means change. Change in the way we do things, change in relationships, change in patterns of thought or behavior, change as we respond to God's call on our lives. Stepping out of comfort zones to serve, to share Christ with others, exercising that dependence upon God, pruning trees makes them more fruitful. And so I expect that we will experience as a church and maybe in our own lives growing pains over the next year. Jesus says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So I invite you to join me in following Jesus' words and asking God to send out workers, even each one of us. Will you pray with me that God will build his church here at St. George's, that he will grow us in number and in maturity? It's a bold prayer. And so we also ask that God will give us the grace and strength to hear and to obey his call that disturbs our settled lives. And we know that growth means experiencing the Holy Spirit at work in and amongst us, the very presence and power of God in our lives. And we also can rejoice in Christ's light shining through us. Let me finish with these words from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.